This is Chad Harrison, and you're listening to Hope Alive, applying God's Word to your daily life. Hi, this is Chad Harrison, and I am the teaching pastor of Lake Community Church and have been serving as a pastor for 25 years. I'm also a practicing attorney. This podcast is designed to help you study God's Word and find God's will for your life. I pray in the name of Jesus right now that God would open up His Word to you and allow you to see Him and to know Him and to know His will, that you might glorify Him and that you might walk in faith and power each and every day, especially today, in Jesus' name. Good morning. Welcome to Lake Community Church's Morning Bible Study. We are in Exodus chapter 34, and we're at the end of the chapter, so we're going to be dealing with an interesting story, a story you keep in the back of your mind and remember it happening. It's one of those unique things that you want to make sure that you know about because it lends itself back to the New Testament, especially when Jesus went up on the Mount of Transfiguration and met with Moses. And this story is important in that regard, but it's important just to get an understanding and an idea of the glory of God and the glory of God that is upon us, or what is called the mantle of the Holy Spirit, or the presence of the Holy Spirit on believers, in believers all the time, but on believers when believers walk by faith. And that is something I want to deal with. And I want to talk about this morning using this passage to get that understanding, because it is one of those neat passages. It's one of those kind of almost exciting passages when we read it. In verse 29 of 34, it says, "Now it was so when Moses came down from Mount Sinai and the two tablets of the testimony were in Moses' hand, when he came down from the mountain, that Moses did not know that his skin and his face shone." And that word for shone means, it means to glow. It means to have a light that is coming from it, really. It is, that's the understanding and the idea that comes from this. And so he did not know that his face shone while he talked with them. So when Aaron and all the children of Israel saw Moses, behold, the skin of his face shone, and they were afraid to come near him. So this was not just a minor little glow. This was a brightness that shone from his face, a literal light that came from his face. And what we call that is the Shekinah glory of God, or the glory of his presence. It is the, and remember, glory is to make known. Oftentimes we think of glory as in praise and worship. In fact, I had this conversation with my secretary yesterday, Stacy. We talk about his glory being in worship. We worship the glory of God. And that's true. That's one of the things we are worshiping. And she said, can we go, she asked me, do people who go to hell glorify God? And the answer is yes. They glorify his truth, and they glorify his judgment and his right to be judge and to say that sin is sin. And sin is not to be in his presence, because sin is outside of his will. And sure they do. And if you think about that, then glory is to make known. If someone is sent to hell because they have rejected faith in Jesus Christ and they're unwilling to glorify the physical manifestation of God, who is Jesus in the world, then they glorify his rightful wrath and judgment against that, which means they make that known. And the Shekinah glory of God is the glory of his presence. And that means when he is present, his glory is there in some way. And his being made known is there in some way. So in verse 31, it says, "Then Moses called to them, and Aaron, the rulers and congregations returned to him, and Moses talked with them. Afterwards, all the children of Israel came near, and he gave them the commandments. All the Lord had spoken with him on the Mount Sinai. He gave them what God had told him. And that's all the things that we talked about, not only the Ten Commandments, but all the things that we've talked about over this last chapter, the new information that God's brought down, the new instructions that God has given, his will as far as their lives and how they're to live. And he says, "And when Moses had finished speaking with them, he put the veil on his face," meaning he covered that up because apparently it was hard to look at. It was not easy to see him when the Shekinah glory of God was upon him. But whenever Moses went in before the Lord to speak with him, he'd take off the veil until he came out. And he'd come out and speak to the children of Israel whatever he had been commanded. And whenever the children of Israel saw the face of Moses, that the skin of Moses' face shone. Then Moses would put on the veil on his face again until he went in to speak with him, meaning God. So you have this story of Moses going in, taking the veil off, speaking in the presence of God, and that presence being upon him. And so when he goes out, that presence of the Shekinah glory of God is upon Moses. And so the children of Israel had trouble looking at him. It's hard to look at. And if you've ever been in a situation where it's so bright outside, you can hardly see, that's what I think about. It's the brightness of God. And as we've been studying through 1 John, we know that one of the primary descriptors of God and who he is light. In fact, John says, God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. So God is glory or understanding or unveiling, letting us know who he is. And in him, there is no lack of unveiling, meaning there's nothing in there that you cannot see and understand. God is totally revealing himself to us. And if we're in Christ, we're a new creation. The old is past, the new has come, and we're in the light. In fact, John tells us to walk in the light as he is in the light. And so that's the whole point of that happening. So you go, well, what does all this mean? First of all, it means that when we walk by faith with God, we take what is inside of us and make it an outward manifestation of what we believe. We literally begin to hear God's voice. We do what he says. We begin to act in faith. When we act in faith, when we speak in faith, when we love our neighbor, love our brother, as we talked about last night in 1 John, when we do the things that James and John talk about that are manifestations of faith, that's action, that's speech, and that's love for brothers and sisters. Those are the three things that John and James talk about as the manifestation of our faith in the world. We believe on the inside, but the belief has to, as James says, it has to come out. I gotta show you my faith. My faith should make something happen in the world around me, or it should come out of my mouth as God's word has come to me from his mouth. It should come out of my mouth agreeing with him in faith. Or as John says, it should manifest itself in my character, and my character being God's character, if I trust him, becoming God's character, it should manifest itself in the preeminent word that describes the character of God, which is love. And so you've got all that stuff going on. And if you think about it and you consider all that's amazing understanding to get that God does all that and that we have God's presence in us. And we know that when the Holy Spirit comes to us and we're born again, meaning the Holy Spirit conceives in us a new human spirit. Now we're made back in the image of God. We have body, soul, and spirit, just like they were in the garden. And when that happens, the Holy Spirit communes with our spirit on the inside. Now, that is a picture of God's indwelling of us. And that's a clear teaching of the New Testament, that the Holy Spirit indwells us or lives inside of us, and he is a part of our lives. But there's two words in the New Testament that deal with how the Holy Spirit dwells with us. The first word is in. It's what we translate in us or inside of us. And that's a pretty common understanding. It's not something that I don't think I have to spend a lot of time on explaining to you, that the Holy Spirit would commune with us and live inside of us and live in our heart. We tell 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10-year-olds that, and they get it and they understand it. It's not a hard concept to get. Now, there's another thing that we see in the Old Testament and the New Testament. And that, and when I say a thing, a dwelling that God has in our lives, and that is in the New Testament, the word is epi, and it is upon us, and the Holy Spirit comes upon us. And when Jesus is talking about, I'll give you living water and it will up into you eternal life, you are a well of the Holy Spirit, which means when we do those faith things, remember, I'm going back a few minutes ago, when we do the things of faith, faith is God speaks first. The initiator is God in his word. God speaks to our heart. speaks about specific situations in our lives. He speaks from his word. We believe his word. All those things that happen when God speaks, when God uses, and it's got to start with his word. When he speaks and we hear him, then we believe, faith, hope, trust, believe, trust him. Let's use the word trust because I think that is the best translation English-wise for that idea of faith. When we trust him and then we act, we speak, we take on his character and we love, when we do those things, all those things in a row, all those things come out of us, what's happened is the work of God that is taking place inside of us comes out upon us and the Shekinah glory of God is upon us. And you go, I've never seen anybody glow. And you're right, you haven't. But remember, in that is a spiritual sense. I'm not sure that it couldn't be a physical sense. I don't know that. I don't have any reason to say it couldn't be. Quite clearly in the Old Testament, it could be. But, and we know in the New Testament it happened because when they went on the Mount of Transfiguration, Jesus' skin shone, Moses' skin shone, Elijah's skin shone. There is the Shekinah glory of God in the New Testament on the Mount of Transfiguration. So I have no reason to believe it couldn't happen for someone who walked with God and heard directly from God even today. Now, you say, are people hearing directly from God in that sense anymore? And the answer is no. Why? Because we have Jesus and we have the full revelation of him in his word. It's not necessary that God come and give us new fundamental revelation. The primary revelation that's found in Jesus, his son, we have. We don't need God to come and give us revelation like he did Moses, or God to reveal himself like he did to the Peter, James, and John on the Mount of Transfiguration to prove that he is God himself. He's the Son of God. We don't need those things. We have the word of God. But I do believe this, and this understanding is pretty common understanding of scripture all the way back 2,000 years, that the Shekinah glory of God is upon us. And the way you know that is really strange. It's weird. Have y'all ever seen the golden rings on top of people's heads in these paintings, these old paintings from antiquity and back in ancient Roman days and going forward? It is the halo that is on their head. That is a physically symbolic painting. It's a tool used to describe what we're talking about here, the Shekinah glory of God. It is literally the way they represented that in paintings, Christian paintings, or paintings made by Christians about Christian things, Michelangelo, all those things. It is the picture of, it's how a person would be represented as being one of God's people because they would put a halo over them, and that would be symbolic of them having the glory of God's presence. Remember, the Shekinah glory is the glory of God's presence. If God lives in me, his glory is in me. And then if I trust him and his, in my actions, my words, my character come out of me, then the Shekinah glory is on the outside of me and it's easily visible. It's easily seen. And it's easily seen in the spiritual. And that's why they would make these halos, because it would be a spiritual, a lot of these, especially these paintings on top of these churches and things like that, they're paintings of painting the spiritual world. And you go, I've had so many people say, you spiritualize things. Yeah, I do. You know why I spiritualize things? And it's important that you understand this. It's fundamental, really, understanding. Something came first. And what came first was the spiritual. God is himself a spirit. God the Father is spirit. And spirit created or made the physical world that we live in. So when we talk about reality, okay, reality begins with the spiritual, and then the physical world that we live in, and that's the only thing we have as far as our lives are concerned to know and for God to reveal himself in. The physical world that we live in is a manifestation of a spiritual being, and that's God. The physical world that we live in is a manifestation of God's actions and work. And so what came first is the spiritual. And so if you're going to understand what God's doing, you got to first understand it comes from the spiritual. Jesus came as the physical manifestation of God, but Jesus was spirit in the heavenlies before he came as a spiritual being. Now, he also was the one who formed the man out of the dust of the ground, and he made the oceans and the seas and the light and all that kind of stuff.
And he was in the bush, on the burning bush on the mountaintop. And he came to meet with Abraham, and he met Joshua outside the gates of Jericho. He was all throughout the Old Testament, but he was a spiritual being. And the Bible says in Philippians chapter 2 that he disrobed himself of his glory and became a man. But that being said, he still had the Shekinah glory of God because he is God. And so the glory of his presence is still there and was there when Jesus walked the earth. He just didn't walk around glowing like a light bulb, because that would have hampered his work or his ministry of atonement, or atoning for our sins, or paying for that, because they would have been very fearful of crucifying someone who shone like Moses in the Mount Sinai after he came off the mountain. That wouldn't have happened. So Jesus's glory was, he disrobed himself of it so that he could come and finish that work. And understanding that the spiritual world, John's going to go later on say in chapter 3 and 4, he's going to say that you can't love the world because the world's not going to love you, and because the unspiritual things that are not of God are not going to love you. Why? Because remember, the fallen angels, the angelic hosts that are under God, the demonic beings that are the unclean spirits that walk the earth, all those things see spiritual things, and they see the Shekinah glory on you. You can't hide that. If you've had any action of faith, you have a residue of the presence of God on the outside of you. If you've ever made a step of faith, if you've been baptized, if you've named Jesus as your Lord, if you've sung and worshiped him in obedience to his will, if you've went and prayed and sought him out, you have manifest in some, it doesn't have to even be big ways, you've manifest God's work in your life, and you've acted in faith upon it. And if you've done that, then you have manifest the Shekinah glory of God in your life. And if that's the case, if that's how that works, then the residue of his presence is upon you. And you can't hide that from the world. You may be able to hide it from the physical world, but you can't hide it from the reality that is the spiritual world. And so there's no use in trying to hide yourself in the world, because you can't do it. The world's going to hate you. If the world hated Jesus, it's going to hate you. If the world wanted Jesus out and crucified, it's going to want you out and crucified. And obviously the fallen angels and the demonic is not going to like you. And so even the demons, when Jesus got out of the boat and the demoniac came out, they always came to Jesus and were afraid and wanted to know what he was going to do with them, because Jesus in the spiritual realm still maintained the Shekinah glory of God, because the Shekinah glory of God is the glory of his presence. And so there you go. So that's my best explanation of that. I hope that enlightened you as to what God is at work doing in your life. I hope it encourages you, because when you trust God, you have the Shekinah glory of God not only in you, but you got it upon you. And there's nothing more powerful than the glory of his presence. And if that's what's upon you, then you're dressed just right for today and for tomorrow and really forever and ever. And I pray that'll be the case for you. I expect it will be. And I expect the Shekinah glory of God and his presence to be upon you more and more as you learn to glorify your Savior, King Jesus, by faith and walking with him each and every day. As you go today, I pray that the Lord will bless you and keep you, that he'll make his face to shine upon you, and that he will give you hope and peace today in Jesus' name.